From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is Xavier Boyer of the French electronic and synth-pop act Tahiti 80. Formed more than a decade ago, Tahiti 80 has been experimenting with bringing the world of electronic dance and breakbeat sounds into the pop mentality, claiming influences from Aphex Twin to the Zombies. Always a prolific band, Tahiti just put out their Darlin' EP last week, and will follow that up with their full-length release, The Past, The Present, and The Possible, on February 22nd. Let's get to the interview.
Tell me about your musical background. Growing up in France, what were you listening to as a child?
I was lucky because I had older brothers who were into cool bands. You know, my brother, they had all these indie records. They used to be really in the Smiths and the Stone Roses, or even older bands like The Cure or The Clash. So, you know, that's how I got my musical education. Anyway, being in France, I don't think it's as, you know, the indie culture or the rock culture is as easy to get as when you're in England or in the States, because indie or rock music is sung in English, and you know, when we were kids, we didn't really understand the lyrics. So I think, you know, you have to really get into it. You have to learn the language, and then you have to listen to a lot of bands just to get into that culture. And I think, in a way, might be one of the strengths of the French bands is, you know, they've been listening to all this music coming from the States or from the UK, and they kind of make their own thing out of that, out of these influences.
So you were maybe sort of an indie kid growing up, and you wanted to get away from the mainstream influences of pop in France. Were you still going to discotheques and clubs and stuff and listening to dance music, or was that just not your scene?
Oh, I think that's another part of the French music scene. I think it was pretty open, that you could be a guy who'd be into the latest indie new band, and you could also listen to electronic music. I think it was really open, and you know, we always had this big tradition of instrumental and I would say kind of a danceable music in France, because I guess it was easier for us, because you know, when you all these disco hits, a lot of disco hits were actually French, and they didn't need many lyrics, it was just a few lines. So I think that part, the sort of dance floor music, is really part of the French culture. You know, I never had any problem with listening to I don't know, Daft Punk, and of course listening to just name rock band. I mean, it's never been a problem for me to go from one to another.
So when you first picked up a guitar, when you first started singing, you were trying to make music maybe emulating The Cure, The Smiths, The Stone Roses. That was what you were trying to do when you first started playing music?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It was a bit of... I used to also to be in a sort of noisy pop thing, because we've been around for quite a while now, and you know, when we started to pick up, you know, learn how to play music, it was right after the noisy pop scene and the scene from Manchester as well. And I think those scenes were pretty open-minded as well. I mean, the Stone Roses, they had all these groovy tracks. So I think for me it was also a good influence. And I remember the first time I met Pedro, the other founding member of Tahiti 80. I was the guy with the guitar, and he was the guy with the sampler. For the first demo we ever recorded, there was one, I would say, more of a traditional pop song, and the other track was an instrumental based on samplers, on loops. There was never like this big frontier between the two musical styles.
Hey, I think I know who you are. You're some kind of superstar. It's so great to see you again. I'm so glad we're on the same plane. You know I made a movie of you. I really got you looking good, it's true. I love the way you play your guitar. I really love the way you play.
Gate 33 from Tahiti 80's latest album, The Past, The Present, and The Possible.
So after self-producing your debut that you mentioned, 20 Minutes, how did you end up coming to New York to record your first big release, Puzzle?
So So we recorded all these demos, and we got some attention in France, and we got this label called Atmospheric in France, and they said, you know, you guys, if you really want to do the, if you want to do it the big way, we should send you over to America and work with a producer. And, you know, we were lucky enough that they were willing to put some money in the session. So we ended up working with Andy Chase, who was sort of a Francophile. His wife is French, so I think he knew how to deal with French bands, and it was actually a great experience. Our record company understood as much as we did that if we, you know, as a French band, maybe we needed a bit of a guidance, and we needed maybe to either go to America or go to the UK for the first album just to really get into the vibe. And we were lucky because we ended up being in New York, and it was, you know, I guess, you know, for any band, just you record your first demo, and then, I mean, a year after that, you're in New York in a proper recording studio working with a cool musician. And, you know, that was quite quick, and that was a very important moment in our lives.
Did Andy Chase have a sort of hands-off environment in the studio, or did he maybe push you in a direction to either be to establish yourselves as a French pop band, or did he say, you know, explore new territories, new sounds, and maybe come up with something completely different from what was maybe expected of you?
The good thing about working with Andy is that he had these American ears. We were playing some songs, and he would say, maybe this part is not what an American or an English band would do. I mean, sometimes he would say, this is very cool, but also sometimes he would say, this is not exactly what a rock band should do. Because I guess it was just little things about maybe some structures of songs. We were just beginners, and we had all sorts of ideas. So he was, in a way, I think he managed to keep our French identity. But, you know, he also added a sort of a American polish to it. The fact that in the end, you know, when people listened to the first album Puzzle, didn't really know if we were a UK band or if we were a band from Sweden or an American band. I think that was maybe one of the best things that happened by working with him.
Keep away from the black hole. In my heart there's plenty of room for everyone to kill the goon. Don't worry too much about what you say. The words would have come anyway.
Let's talk for a minute about Wallpaper for the Soul. It's certainly even more experimental. The title track, Wallpaper for the Soul, can almost be considered trip-hop. What were your creative motivations for that album?
I think, yeah, Puzzle was like a very guitar-pop album, even though we also were, there were a few songs where we played with synthesizers. But I think, yeah, the idea behind Wallpaper for the Soul was to push the envelope a little bit. Like the title track, Wallpaper for the Soul, I wouldn't say it was trip-hop because I don't really like the term, but our idea was to mix a traditional songwriting, like the first time I played the song to the arranger, the guy said it sounds a lot like Paul Simon track. But the idea was to get that sort of folk vibe, and I mean to keep the melody of the song, but to add those breakbeats, FX twin breakbeats, to come up with an interesting combination of elements that usually don't really go well together.
Yeah.
A lot of songs on the album were a bit like that. We would maybe one song was written once again on the piano, but in the end, on the final mix, there's no piano. There's just like these big drum beats and string arrangements and a lot of delayed or effects behind it. So, you know, it was fun. I mean, once again, the record label was willing to spend some money for us, and we ended up like working 2 months on it. We went to New York once again. We recorded the strings in London at Olympic Studios, very big studio. So, I mean, it was great. And still also we had some success in some countries where the songs were being played on the radio, even though we thought that some of them were quite experimental, but that was quite a surprise. surprise for us, yeah.
And your big track, A Thousand Times, is more or less a disco tune on the other end of the spectrum. Do you think that producers today are have you noticed that they're turning more and more to the 70s and the disco era to reinvent today's dance and electronic music? I mean, that track definitely has a retro vibe, but it's very danceable and has some of those forward-thinking electronic vibes to it.
Yeah, I think it was always our motto. I think when you make this kind of music, first you need the songs, so you need the melodies, you need the catchy hooks and everything, but at the same time you need to ask yourself, you know, a lot of stuff has been done before, and you know, like especially in the 70s or 60s, I mean, the music was amazing, and I don't think it's very interesting to do a thing that has been done before. So we, on our case, we always wanted to keep that sort of classical songwriting, but to add all these modern stuff that's available. I think right now it's really hard to invent any new style. I think what comes up is your interpretation of music. It's the fact that you can have this 50s sort of chord progression, and then you add a bit of a Jamaican beat to that, and then you add some filters from a synthesizer, and then this is the way to make something a bit modern in a way. We always kept that in mind, and Southern Times definitely was it sounded a lot like a Motown track, but we used sort of synth bass, we used all sorts of noises in the background just to make it a little bit new.
Just because you'll always be miles ahead of me, I don't see why I shouldn't try to catch up with you.
Thousand Times from Tahiti 80's album Wallpaper for the Soul, right here on the UNTS podcast.
Now, your bass player, Pedro, is responsible for creating programmed drum beats and samples in the studio and the live setting?
Yeah. Pedro was always, he was always the guy, the geek, the nerd of the band. he's always reading those books about new gear and everything. But the good thing about the band as well is that for every album, we always try to learn new things. So on the new album, I actually started to program myself as well. But Pedro is like the... even though everybody loved electronic music, Pedro was the guy who was buying the drum machines and all that stuff.
I wonder, how have French and greater European trends in electronic and dance music been an influence? What is it that you've been listening to, and how has it become a part of the Tahiti 80 sound?
A bit earlier, we talked about Aphex Twin. I thought it was really interesting to listen to what that guy was doing. I remember that there was an EP, I think it was called the Girl Boy EP. Mm-hmm. And he had a song. It was the first time he was actually singing lead on one of his tracks. Usually they were only instrumentals. It was just before Come to Daddy, part of that sort of EP that he released right after that. And I thought, yeah, this is the future. This is very minimal, but there's still melody, and it's very exciting. And so Aphex Twin was always a big influence for us. And after that, there were a lot of, warp bands. And, you know, and being in France, I think We were definitely into all these French touch bands, the Super Discount, the Motor Bass, or Daft Punk. I think, and then it's interesting because you listen to that, then you go back to Giorgio Moroder, the German producer, and then you listen to Kraftwerk as well, and then you listen to Jean-Michel Jarre, and you see that everything is connected. So, yeah, I think it's just about... matter of being curious in music, and when you listen to an iPod, then you will listen to a British folk song from the 60s, and then the next song is a hip hop track, and then we're just very open minded about music.
Absolutely, and I wonder, how closely were you involved in the Shit Brown remix of your Solitary Business track from earlier this fall?
These guys, they the some of the guys are barmen in a very cool place in Paris, so that's how I got to know the guys, and the guys were really into those Manchester bands, and so it felt totally natural to ask them to do a remix, but I didn't do anything about it. I just knew that these guys were going to do sort of retro electronica. Like for me, it's interesting because it sounds like it could have been recorded in '89. So I think it's pretty cool. But these the guys are very young. They were like very when the first album, the Stone Roses, came out. They were not in their teens. So it's interesting to see guys like that and being really excited about this music.
Brown remix of Tahiti 80's Solitary Business. Let's talk about the new album. The title itself, The Past, The Present, and The Possible, I guess this is exactly what your fans can expect. Old styles, current styles, and then futuristic songs all rolled into one?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the idea behind that. It was just, I was reading this book about a designer called Barney Bubbles, and there was this little article about it from another designer, the guy who did all the artwork for Factory Records, so Peter Saville, and he was talking about the other designer, and he talked about the postmodernism, the three aspects of postmodernism, which are the past, the present, and the possible. And I thought, this is exactly what we tried to do for years, and this is what we're still doing now. It's just, you have this cultural, this history of music, so the past, you have the what's going on now, and what you try to make is you try to combine the two, and then you get the obviously something possible, which is, it's a less pretentious term than the future, but it's definitely we try to stay true to our roots, so there's still songs, melodies, harmonies, but we just picked up different. I think the album is quite abstract. You know, the fact that we have our own label now, I think that's more freedom. We are really able to do what we want to do. So, there was no pressure in the studio about, recording a hit single or trying to sound like, bands of today. It was just like, okay, let's we have these songs, let's have fun in the studio, let's pick up those old synths, let's pick up these drum machines, let's get this acoustic guitar or whatever we have and try to make, try to explore, experiment.
Absolutely. And I imagine after the album comes out, you're off on a big tour?
Yeah, we're working on it right now. We next month we should be in Thailand, in Asia, and then back in March we should be in the States, actually. We should play some shows in the States, then go back to Japan again and maybe more shows in Asia, and then we'll be back in Europe for shows in Paris, big shows in Paris, and then UK, Germany, and everything. So it looks like it's going to be going to be quite busy. That's great.
Fantastic. Xavier Boyer, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for this interview.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Kabir Malhotra with Girly Action Media, and of course my guest, Xavier Boyer. The Tahiti 80 EP Darlin came out last week, and The Past, The Present, and The Possible will be out February 22nd on Human Sounds. Coming up next week, Low Bounds will be on the UNS podcast. This young Chicago-based producer is becoming well-known for his signature drippy bass sound. His debut album, Bounce Town, is out early next week. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. There are also some great contests at theunz.com,
you could win tickets to Summer Camp Music Festival, Ultra Music Festival, or Invisible Allies with Kilowatts and Blue Tech. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunz.com. Catch you next week.